Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, greetings. I want to welcome you to A Wonderful Approach Radio. It is Wednesday. It's been a very full Wednesday, as they each are. I want to say thank you to all the people that are taking a moment out of their day to join us, to spend the time learning, sharing, discussing spiritual matters, really learning spiritual techniques for handling some of the challenges and issues that we have in our life every day. It's such a blessing to come together and to learn and to share. It's one of the highlights of, for me, the day. I spend each of one of the radio shows with pen and paper, taking notes, learning, sharing, and just gathering information so that I can share with others that don't know. I want to welcome, of course, a Wonderful Approach family out there. Hey, Mother Eagle family out there. Hey, there's some new people with us, too. So that's always exciting. Now the challenge is going to how Mama Khadija is going to pull them out, because Mama Khadija get them every single time. So I absolutely adore the program, and I want to thank everybody for spending the time with us. I was just speaking with a sister on the phone, and she was like, well, how I missed that show, because last week we spoke about the women. And she was like, how do I need to read that show, I need to listen to the show. And so, of course, you go to A Wonderful Approach Facebook page, and, you know, that will allow you to see all the old shows. They are just glistening with information, glistening with those gold nuggets. And so I would suggest everybody go check them out and everything, especially if you missed last week's show, because last week's show was hot, hot, hot. You know, I mean, I'm sure the men folk are going to do well this show. I have full confidence in you guys. But last week was amazing. Hold on, let me bring Mama Khadija on. She's going to share with us about last week's show, the highlights and everything like that, and how awesome it was. Hold on. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings, Seven. Greetings, family. How is everyone? We got our present. We are going into our new year with our P's, our A's, our B's, or whatever it is. Positivity, prayer, and prosperity. That's how I'm going into this year. So we had a phenomenal show. As Seven said, it was super. Now, Seven, when you said that we're going to address the men tonight, you didn't quite convince me that they were going to stand up and shine like the women shined last week. I mean, it was just awesome. We had women of various ages, spiritual backgrounds, religious backgrounds. We really, really showed up, and I'm really proud of the family for, you know, pressing one to join the conversation and sharing their journey. We celebrated those spiritual journeys of women, our journeys. And I encouraged everyone to pause, take a deep breath, acknowledge and celebrate our journey. Start celebrating last week. And if you missed last week, like Seven said, please check us out on our Facebook page, A Wonderful Approach Facebook page, and listen to the show. And see, that just goes to show you that you can't miss a week. You never know what you're missing. You missed the party last week, a real celebration. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I'd like to reiterate is that, you know, we don't celebrate our life enough. You know, we go from one challenge to the next, never celebrating, wow, I got through that. You know, let me celebrate. Let me share this accomplishment with one of my sisters or with my brother or with a friend or a family member. I made it through. Now, the big question is, will your funeral be the only time that your life will be celebrated? I'm hoping that everyone will know. That's not going to happen. We're going to start celebrating right now. We paid homage to our teachers on our journey, family members, you know, people that had positively impacted our life, how we got through certain situations. We highlighted some spiritual markers in our life. We had one sister that called in, and her testimony was awesome. She is going to be celebrating motherhood.
That's right.
We celebrated women in business. And, you know, the lines were just lit up. We couldn't even get to all of the callers last week. I'm sorry if you missed out, but we're definitely going to have to do this again. Maybe after someone has a celebration and invites Seven and I to.
That's right.
We might even do a live broadcast from the celebration. That's what I'm talking about. Okay.
Yeah, I think there's a celebration coming in September. I have a feeling. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, we got to have a celebration before September. We need to have a celebration every month, whether I can make it or Seven can make it or not. Even if you celebrate among your children or among your family, go ahead and celebrate your life. So, yeah, we've got a lot of celebrations coming up this year. I'm looking forward to attending. And, you know, I'm just waiting for my invitation. Now, the only thing that I feel that went lacking last week is that I don't think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, did anyone celebrate single parenthood? Because we've got so many mothers out there that are doing a phenomenal job, you know, for whatever reason, raising these children on their own. And, of course, nobody really does it literally on their own because it does take a village. You know, grandmama got to step in there. Auntie's got to step in there. But I'm talking about without a spouse. Yeah. So I just want to give all of the single mothers out there, you know, a shout-out for the great job that we do as single parents in raising these children, okay? And the dads, too. But there's just so many single moms out there that are just doing a great job, you know, taking kids to the football practice and band camps and, you know, feeding and working and delegating responsibility to the older ones. So don't forget, single moms, celebrate. Celebrate because you're doing a phenomenal job. Other than that, I can say that I was completely satisfied with the people that called in, the sisters that shared their phenomenal stories.
Absolutely. You know, one thing I liked about the show, and I've heard this quietly from time to time, is that people, you know, they'll say, okay, oh, I shouldn't have been down that street, but I'm so glad I'm off. I'm like, you need to pay attention to that. You know, we can celebrate all aspects of our journey, even getting over some of the mistakes that we've made on this journey. And that's something that I don't think people give themselves enough permission to have feelings even about mistakes. You know what I'm saying? The thing about mistakes is learning from them. You know, if you learn from it, it's all good. You know, it's not a mistake at that point. It's a lesson. And so even sometimes what you might have considered a mistake, I shouldn't have done it, I shouldn't have been there, I shouldn't have said it, whatever, what you can do at this point is treat it like a lesson and be thankful for the lesson, because sometimes our lessons now are to set us up for bigger tests in the future. So
exactly.
Every aspect needs to be looked at, addressed, and really celebrated. So it was a phenomenal show. I enjoyed it. I went back and talked smack to a couple of the guys and been like, yeah, I'm waiting. I hope y'all show up. We'll see. We'll see. So it's been an interesting couple. It's been an interesting week. And just going into the show for today, everyone that knows me knows I have a ministry for the men. I do. And it's really interesting, me being female and having a ministry for men, because especially spiritually, a lot of times there's a little separation there. Oh, the men deal with the men and, you know, the women deal with the women. And I'm like, okay, I can accept that. At the same time, though, I see all the women having lots of support. You know, we have mamas and big mamas and you know, aunties, 1,001 aunties. I remember growing up, and there came a point when I got about a teenager, and I would ask my mother, I'm like, how is she my auntie again? Okay, you know, and she's like, oh, mm-hmm. We call her auntie, you know what I'm saying? And so we had that understanding of auntie, even though it was not an official aunt. But I looked around growing up, and I knew I had tons of female support. But the men are not as fortunate, in my opinion. What I have seen is a lot of times they don't have the support in place, and or they don't communicate that well. So the support that they do have, they're getting, you know, bits and pieces, grunts and groans, you know, rather than full disclosure or however, you know. And also sometimes I think that male pride sometimes gets away to where, oh, I don't want to admit I was wrong, or I can't be honest with this or with that. So I'm just very interested to hear the men, and I'm very pleased and honored to be able to give the men voice, allow them to be the ones that are speaking, allow them to celebrate their own journeys. Because what I'm thinking is going to happen is that the things that us women celebrate with ourselves and or with the men around us may not be the same thing that they celebrate. You know, they may have different ideas as far as what works, what doesn't work, what's positive, what's not positive. So I'm really interested in hearing how the men interpret and how the men would distinguish things and benchmarks that should be celebrated.
Mm-hmm. Well, we shall see. We shall see. Now, if you want to join this conversation, please press 1. Let us know that you are there. You can choose to identify yourself or not. I'm telling you one thing, brother. If you don't show up tonight, I have several brothers that I would like to shout out. So
okay.
either you shout yourself out, or the sisters will start to shout out the men in their lives and how they positively
Amen.
Impacted their journey. So please press 1 and let us know that you want to join this conversation. And as usual, I'm calling out all first-time callers or first-time speakers, because I understand that there are brothers on this line. And I had a sister tell me just last night that her husband listens to the show in private. And he listens and doesn't let anybody know and has never spoken up. So I'm going to encourage the brothers to speak up. Oh, yeah. Somebody ratted out their husband last night. Oh, yeah, he listens in private. So
how
please.
How awesome.
Yes, step up, brothers. Step up
all
to
right.
the plate, and let's do it.
All right. All right. Well, you know, this is what Mom Khadija does. She puts that shout out, and we get them calling in. So let's go ahead and say hello. Because I think the brothers are going to try to step up for this challenge. I have a feeling about this. Hold on. Let's see. Well, greetings. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Greetings. Hi, how are you?
All right, how you guys doing?
Oh, we are blessed. We are blessed.
Well, let us know who you are. Say hello. Let us know who you are.
Okay. Well, my name is Manny. My real name is Don Trail, but everybody knows me as Manny. I haven't officially met Miss Khadija yet, but I was informed of her by a family member, and I reached out to her about some things this past week. But she invited me here today to share some experience that I went through so far in my life, and I was honored to do that.
Oh, that's wonderful. Means.
Yes, it is.
That is wonderful. Now, let me ask you, and I think you said Lenny, Brother Lenny.
Manny.
Yeah.
Got it.
Uh-huh.
So how does your spirituality, like, positively influence, you know, like, what you have going on? Because, you know, we're all real people with real stuff and situations and stuff. How has your spirituality, you know, helped you with that?
It varies, to be honest. Like, me, personally, I worry a lot. I don't know why. I always worried a lot. I remember since I was a little boy, I used to always worry about my grandparents because I was like, oh, they're older. They may die soon, stuff like that. So I always was a worrier, but I try to lean heavy on the Word and on the Lord to get through things that I worry about and just leave it in His hands. And I just try to pretty much leave everything in His hands because I know, for one, He didn't bring me this far to leave me now. Two, He would never leave me nor forsake me. And
amen.
And I just think about that all the time. Sometimes it gets hard because, you know, the flesh is weak, especially when you could just, like, you got, like, for instance, a bill to pay and you don't have the money and you just sitting there, like, stressing about it, just worrying, and it's hard to get in that spiritual realm when that flesh, you're just fighting that flesh because you're just sitting there knowing, like, hey, I have to pay this by this date. Or for me, like last week, I was working on my truck and I couldn't get it to running for like a whole week and a day. And I had these companies just calling me trying, you know, to get me to work. And I was like, Lord, I'm missing money. I just want to work and provide for my family. And I don't know what's wrong with this truck. I done did everything I could. I don't know what's wrong. And by the end of the week, about Thursday, I was like, Lord, I'm not going to even worry about it no more. It's out of my control, you know. And so that's, you know, pretty much how my spiritual life helped me in my day-to-day basis. And I try to encourage others, friends, family members that I talk to, you know, just to encourage them, tell them to keep the faith.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. I love it. God is that close and that practical. You know, so it is wonderful to see you pulling that in and pulling on that strength, you know, especially if you know you're a Rory Ward.
Mm-hmm. But it sounds like you have a relationship. And see,
yes.
I always talk about the relationship because, you know, everything on this earth and in the heavens deals with relationship. You know that you can call on your Lord and Savior and say, I need some help with this bill, you know. Or I need
right.
to fix this or fix that. And when you have that kind of relationship, there's real, the sky is the limit.
Yes,
the sky
ma'am.
Is the limit. You put in your work with that relationship, it's
mm-hmm.
going to work out.
Definitely. Yes, ma'am. Like I was telling Ms. Khadija earlier today, I have a lot of testimonies, but I can share a few if you guys don't mind.
Oh, please.
Give us at least one.
Men came and did their testimony. Amen.
Okay. So I went to college to play college football, and I had got redshirted. If you're not familiar with that, that's when the freshmen come in and they're not suitable to play yet. You know, they still got to do some training and gain some weight and things like that. So that's what, you know, the coaches decide to redshirt me so I can, like, practice with the team and do everything with the team except play in the game. So it wouldn't count against my eligibility to play. So I still had 4 years to play, but I had already finished a year of school. Fast forward to my senior year, getting ready to play my senior year of football, and I graduated on time. So I had another year to play football, but I had already graduated from school, but in order to play, you have to be enrolled in school. Uh-huh. So I was like, okay, everything on football. I'm going to just focus on football. I'm going to take, like, some little PE classes and stuff and, you know, just try to get to the NFL, which was my dream. And my coaches was like, Manny, why don't you apply for grad school? And I was like, grad school? No way. I'm not going to grad school. I'm so sick of school. I'm ready to get out of school. And I talked to my mom about it and my godmother about it. And it was like, you should, you know, go for it, you know. So I graduated my undergraduate program with a 2.2 GPA. But you needed a 3.0 to get into that grad program that I was aiming to get into. And I had to take a test. I didn't even study. I just prayed, and I went and I took the test. I passed the test by one point more than what I needed to get into grad school. Then I got all the rest of the paperwork, the essay that I had to write and the letters of recommendation, and I submitted all that stuff. And before I sent it off, I just said, I didn't even really, you could call it a prayer, but I just looked up to the sky and said, Lord, I'm not going to even worry about it. I'm going to leave it in your hands. 2 months later, got a letter in the mail saying, you have been accepted to this graduate program on a probationary period. And I was just like, Lord, I know that was nothing but you, because I couldn't have gotten this program with no 2.2 GPA. And I ended up graduating with my master's back in 2015.
Don't you just love a miracle? When God steps in and you know you had nothing to do with it. It shouldn't have even happened, but you know that was God, and that wasn't nobody but God. And that's what I call a miracle.
Yes,
so when you identify God as the provider of the miracle, then you know how to be thankful. You know how to be grateful. You know that it's through his work that this came about. So that is a wonderful thing, you know, and really to also recognize where this is coming from. So that is awesome. That is awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing. And a first-time caller in, you know, first-time pressing one. See, Mom Khadija gets it every single time. I really want to, you know, welcome you into the family. You're here every Wednesday. So don't let this be the last time that you call and that you press one as well, okay?
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care, Manny.
Thank you for having me. All right. Thank you.
Awesome. All right, Mom Khadija. See, she does this. She does this. She makes the magic happen. Well, I know this number. We're going to go ahead. I'm going to press one because we are here celebrating the journey, our spiritual journey. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings. Greetings. Thank you. Greetings, Mother Khadija.
Greetings, Brother Ibrahim.
That's right. That's right. Traveling, yes. Brother Ibrahim.
Yes, yes. So I'm going to try to hang out as long as I can. It's been a long day. It is. In fact, I think I'm from you guys' home. So I'm in New Jersey, and it is below freezing. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It gets ridiculous. I mean, it is cold. So we hang out. We're coming from a funeral, so energy is drained a little bit, but a wonderful topic. I'm glad to hear the brother came in. That was a great testimony by Brother Manny. I hope there's more brothers out there listening in, ready to deliver some powerful testimonies and some things, since the sisters have turned it into a friendly competition. But I think it's a great topic. I think for me, I have so many testimonies. Man, I could talk your ear off. But I think the biggest thing that I've learned in my spiritual journey and just the difference, and I have to thank you for this too, Seven, is learning to have a relationship with my spirits, an intimate relationship with my spirits, to get to know them and to embrace and the whole point of, I can see why even understanding the, I think by society, we already get on the masculine energy or the divine father or, you know, with that energy, but starting to understand the divine mother or feminine energy or whatever labels we like to put with it, helped also to personalize it and to get to develop it on that intimate level of learning compassion. We talked about on one program, we went through the whole thing of forgiveness, learning forgiveness, things that, and forgive me, sisters, not to be, chauvinist, but things that we usually equate with being feminine or soft or something like that. But I think getting in touch with spirit has at least introduced me to these various aspects of itself, a spirit self, and ones that I've, it's been an interesting journey coming to get to know. So I think that's the biggest thing that has impressed upon me.
Mm-hmm. We're going right back to that relationship.
Absolutely.
Going right back
Absolutely.
To that relationship.
Mm-hmm. Have to have the relationship. Have to have the relationship. Well, Brother Ibrahim, let me just ask for the audience, how long have you been on the spiritual quest? How long has religion played a big part of your life?
Oh, religion. Okay. You know, of course, I was born in a religious household, so that just coming up naturally. My father's Orthodox Muslim, and even being with my grandmother. But as I got older into what I'd like to call that age of consciousness, and I, on my own, out of my own fruition, accepted a particular set of religious beliefs. I mean, I was into it deeply, probably about 15 years. But it was just that. It had become just religion. It had become very ritualistic, which are cool. I think rituals are cool. But I think that spirit is the energy that lends the power behind the ritual. You know, I think that's the difference between calisthenics and really certain positions that align you with power. So I had lost the, in Islam we call it the sweetness of Iman, the sweetness of faith. You know, I was making a prayer one day and I was like, I don't feel it like I used to feel it. Like when, I don't know, you know, Khadija, we second generation, but okay, you do know. You know how when you study and you discover that new thing and God introduced itself to you in a whole new manner and you just, and you'll talk me to death all night about it, when you, that type of thing. When that's how, you know, that feeling I wanted from it, and I had just lost it. And so I was about to put it down, and you and I began to hang out and stuff like that and kick the spark up a friendship. And you was telling me about keep the religion, but introduce me to spiritual aspects and spiritual concepts. So, but, and along the way, the journey, and brothers, this is why I love to hear from you brothers out there, some of your personal experience, because along the way, one of the things I discovered out of, you know, our journey along the way, Seven, is that you and I don't always agree on the same thing. I think our intentions are the same and trying to achieve the same objectives. But when it comes to spirit and how we perceive it, you and I don't always agree or seem to feel it in the same manner. So I always thought that was interesting. That's why I think this is a good conversation. So, listen, don't get me to talking. But
Well, look, I know that you're traveling. I know you came from funeral and everything else like that. We greatly appreciate your contribution and everything else like that because we do always talk about the differences. And so we're like, okay, the difference, is it nature versus nurturing? Is it upbringing? Is it exposure? Or is it just gender? Is it different relatabilities? And so that's why this show, I can see and I can feel. And for me, a woman in charge of raising young men, it makes a difference in me understanding some of this. Because some of this, I just chalk it up as, you know, y'all touched. But really, through speaking with you, I'm learning is more than just that. It's just different MOs, different everything. So, you know, thank you so much for your contribution and everything like that. And I know that you guys, please safe travel on that road. We'll speak more soon.
Absolutely. Okay. I'll be listening and I'm relaxed. Brother Khadija, I'll see you in the
house.
Okay.
All right. Safe travels.
Thank you. Thank you, Mother. Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, look, I'm telling you, this menfolk, and the phone lines are lit, so I'm not going to stay too long on myself. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and jump on another phone line. Is that okay with you, Mama Khadija?
That sounds great.
All right, hold on. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you doing?
Greetings.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, my name is Solomon Davis. I wanted to talk about, kind of piggyback off of the first caller when he was talking about He Shall Leave You, Never Forsake You. I was actually watching a documentary a couple weeks ago, and they used that quote, but they said that he never didn't promise trials and tribulations. And that was something that I always really kept close to me. So saying that, I took it as he's not going to leave you, but that doesn't mean at the same time you're not going to go through things in life and there's going to be speed bumps and stops and all kind of detours that you have to take in life. And like you guys were saying, you kind of have to take it day by day and kind of be like, okay, well, I got it through this day. And that's an accomplishment some days, because some days they're just hard and you're not going to really make it through it if you don't. If you beat yourself up about it every day, you really have to be like, well, I got through this day. Let's go to sleep, wake up in the morning and see what we can do tomorrow. So you kind of want to make mini goals and not make, because my problem, me personally, I make long-term goals. So, but I get so much done in between then and those long-term goals that I'll focus on one thing and I won't focus on the other goals that got me to the big one, because little things add up to that big thing. So for me to look so far ahead and not really worry about what I'm going through now, I kind of miss out on the thing. So I'm kind of beating myself up about something so small that's really a good thing. It's just not, it's not necessarily where you want to be, but it's a step forward to where you're trying to get to sometimes.
I tell you. Oh, boy. From the mouth of babes, that's all I can say. That's my grandbaby. That is my grandbaby.
Yeah, I remember teaching him some of his first prayers. And, you know, like a mother and a grandmother doesn't realize, like, is this going to stick?
You know, is he is he really grasping this? And I can look at his life and say, this child got it. He got it. Thank you so much for calling in, Solomon.
Thank you.
And it really does warm my heart to know that the spiritual lessons that you were taught, not only did you keep them, but you apply them on a regular basis. God is that close, you know, and so we have to remember that and keep it close. And I love that attitude of, look, I'm going to celebrate what I did get done. You know, I'm going to celebrate where I am at, and then I'll work on everything else later. You know, that is an awesome, you'll always look forward to the next day, and you'll always be satisfied with yourself, which is something that we need to look into, especially with the young people. You know, Solomon finishing up his sophomore year in college, it's important that we don't look so far ahead in the future that we're missing out right now. You know, celebrate yourself. Celebrate where you are. So, yes, I appreciate you. You know, I really do want you to continue to shine that light, keep that spirit high, because even though you're in college now, I have people that called me, sister called me a couple weeks ago and was reminding me about something I had told her when we were in college that impacted her positively. And I'm like, okay, you know, but, you know, you never know who might see you and see your relationship with God and see that's something that I want, and you can help them get closer to God just in allowing yourself to be an example. So, yeah, keep it up, Shorty.
Amen.
Bob. Keep it up.
Amen.
All right, thank you.
Y'all have a nice day.
Okay, be blessed.
All right.
Be a blessing.
Look, we have a wide, see, the men came. They came to show out. Okay, yeah, so we have the old and the new. Okay, all right, I give you credit. All right, we have more on the line, Mom Khadija. I just want to keep it rolling, if that's all right with you.
Oh, keep it rolling.
Okay, greetings, welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Greetings.
How you doing, Mama Eagle and Sister Seven?
Hey, this sounds like the South Carolina family.
This is the big South Carolina family.
All right.
I'm here to talk about this lady here. This is Brother Papa calling on the phone. I just like to wish so far, thank God for me to see another year, to be able to spend it with my family and everything like that.
Amen.
Awesome, and sometimes, is this thing?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. You know, I am so interested in, and you are a first time caller.
Yay, we got two of them. See, that's okay.
I've been calling, but I just did a silent caller.
Oh, a silent caller. Okay. The first time you pressed one, okay?
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I'm so interested in knowing a little bit about your spiritual journey, because I understand that your journey is started off in another country.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you please share that with
him? Yes, ma'am. My journey started all the way back in Thailand, and the way it started off was with my grandfather. It took me a while to get back to my journey until I found the right person that helped me focus on my journey.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she's been with me. She's been my backbone, 150%. Not 100%,
okay.
But 150% to 200%.
Okay.
And I wouldn't be able to do without her. And
okay.
It's been a rough journey, but it's been a great journey. The journey that me and her is going through right now, it's made my entire family 150% to 200% stronger.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't be able to do without her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's
well,
so important.
Oh, yeah.
What you just said is so important. You know, we have to. That's what our support system is there for. Support me, you know, feel it. Let me, and so men need that too. Y'all can be as physically strong as you want to, but there's nothing wrong with receiving support, especially from those dedicated and committed to supporting you. That's a wonderful.
Yes,
that's wonderful. And anything that gets you that takes you closer to God is a blessed thing. I promise you. If it takes you close
mm-hmm.
to God.
I don't give it to nobody else but God. God makes
mm-hmm.
sure that my family is taken care of and I'm taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds to me like y'all are doing some praying together.
Yes,
amen.
Ma'am. And our answers
mm-hmm.
taking care of us very much.
mm-hmm.
Yes,
you know,
ma'am.
I tell all of my married couples that, you know, I counsel on the telephone, you got to pray with your husband. You got to
amen.
Pray with your wife, you know.
Yes.
Don't go
yes,
to bed
yes.
upset with each other. Make
no,
that prayer
you
because
you can't do that. You can't, you know, if you're angry with your spouse, it's not going to wake up to the a good thing in the morning. You know, you
mm-hmm.
Even though if you go to bed angry, you have to forgive one another and just keep on going.
That's
because
right.
Because if you
that's
do, you're going to wake up with a nasty attitude and keep on going, and it ain't going to make your day worse. Because I tell you what, me and my wife has the ups and downs, but the last 5 years been the greatest years of my life.
All right. Praise God.
I would not change it for the world. Because I got the best
mm-hmm.
woman in the world that's backing me up 150% to 200% right now.
I got the goosebumps behind that one.
And the journey we're doing, our children is so much involved in that journey, and, you know, I can't give it to nobody else but God.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's a family
mm-hmm.
thing.
It's a family affair.
It's a family thing.
And that's
mm-hmm.
And see, you teaching people is a powerful thing. When you win together. When you fight, you lose together. You know what I'm saying? Well, everybody loses when we're fighting. Win together.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is together. So it all counts, you know. It's not a matter of, you know, oh, I don't want to this time and they don't want. No. We all win it. So that's so blessed. And that's how you keep your unit strong.
And see, another thing we're learning too, and a lot of people don't realize, is that the religions that me and my wife combined together is that I'm Buddhism, and she's and she's Ifa, and a lot of people don't realize that's all combining together as one knowledge.
And that
journey together, and everything that we teach in each other at the same time is exactly the same thing. You know?
Wow.
And if everybody looks at it, and, you know, a lot of people don't know. You want to say something, honey? My wife is sitting right here next to me, and she don't want to say nothing. She just trying to remember everything. But we're here together, and God brought me home, so I was, you know, celebrate everything with my family.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I want to come to the big family celebration. I know that you guys are planning a family reunion this upcoming year, and I'm planning on being at the celebration. But continue to celebrate your wife, continue to celebrate your children, continue to celebrate your marriage, and keep on that spiritual journey together.
Yes,
and stay together. Stay together.
Oh, yes. Man, there's no doubt about that. I don't think there's nothing in the world. I don't think even the devil can break us up.
Okay.
Now, he'd have to get through me.
This marriage up right here.
He'd have to get through me, and I'm not having it. So all of that is well and wonderful and blessed.
I don't think there's nothing
going to
break
this thing
up.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
And thank you for having me on, and I will definitely connect on more often. I have been a silent listener. You know, I listen, and I get fussed at it. And I'm letting everybody know there's some good stuff that everybody needs to listen to, but we all need to get on our voice in power also.
Okay.
Right. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Thank you so
y'all.
Much for calling in.
We love y'all.
Love you more. Be blessed.
How about that? I love it.
Yeah.
The men, y'all have officially won. I'm so sorry. Because when he started talking about his wife, I said, well, there we go. there it is, okay? How about that? You know, he said, okay, in my spiritual journey, I got to also celebrate the one that walks with me in my journey. Doesn't get better than that. It does not get better than that. You know, because, and I, like you say, Mama Khadija, the couples that you get to counsel and the ones I get to counsel, I don't get to counsel that many couples. I get one-sided conversation. And in that one side, though, I'm like, look, a win for him, a win for you. A win for you, a win for him. You know, we've got to get together in that. And that was just such a wonderful call to let the men folks know, look, in celebrating your journey, celebrate the ones that are walking with you, too. You know? Awesome.
And one thing else that he said that I really, really liked, he talked about both of them having two different spiritual traditions, but they're bringing those traditions together. And in the closing prayer/prose that I read last week, I talked about celebrating our differences. Differences don't have to be ugly and mean and distasteful. Mm-hmm. We can celebrate these differences. And that's what it sounds like they're doing. They're celebrating. Even though they have different traditions and backgrounds that they're coming from, they're joining them together and celebrating that difference, and that's awesome.
Absolutely.
That is awesome.
Absolutely. All right. Mama Khadija, we have a caller waiting. If you don't mind, I want to go ahead and grab the caller.
Okay.
All right. Please, welcome to the show.
Hello? Hello.
Greetings.
How are you?
Hi, Mama.
You're
blessed.
How are
you? Seven. May I just say one thing?
Yeah.
I just want to tell all my brothers, all my men, all the men that decided to come back as men this time to save their DNA lines. I want to thank all my Christian brothers, all my Muslim brothers, all my Ifa brothers, all my Yoruba brothers, all my Santeria brothers, all my brothers that work for the government, all my brothers who are praying, all my brothers who are holding space up for everyone that's out here. I'm going to tell the homeless brother, I love you, because I know you're waiting on something to change. I just want to tell all my brothers how much I love you, how much this God is from the bottom of my heart, that I love you, that I hold you in the best space, that I pray for you every morning, every night, that I look at you in my dreams, that I see you at your best of the best. And I want you to tell me that everyone that's on this call looks at all our brothers, every last one of you, and hold you in divine space. I want to thank you for being you. I want to thank you for loving me. I want to thank you for loving me. I want to thank you for supporting me. Whatever it is, I just want to thank you, because I know every day you're going to have me, you're going to hold me, and you're going to remember who we are together. Thank you. I love you.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen.
That
was a prayer right in the middle of the show.
Oh, okay. We needed that. We needed
that.
That
was a prayer. Yes.
How about? That's wonderful. Look, men folk, y'all got to feel the love now. You got to feel the love, okay? This is awesome. Mama Khadijah, I'm going to keep it rolling, if that's okay.
Keep on rolling.
Greetings, welcome to the show.
Hey, greetings. How are you? I want to say that I'm very proud of you guys. There's a lot of brothers outside of your culture that don't get to hear positivity coming from women. So I want to say I'm very proud of what you're doing, touching these brothers' soul. I did want to make the suggestion that a lot of times these dudes, like a lot of my clients, a lot of these dudes, I have to try to get them to unhate women because they don't necessarily hear nurturing conversations in the circle of women that they deal with. And this that you guys is doing is very positive, because what happens is, and I just want to add a little seriousness to your wonderful show, not to take away the joy that you guys get. Got quite sure the next caller would have a bunch of joy, but there's a lot of these guys that grow up as young black boys, and they did not grow up in a setting where the boys were celebrated. A lot of these dudes, they grew up in a conversation where the mother may have cared more about his girlfriend than she did about him. And so by the time these guys get 30 plus and they come to me, I have to help them unravel all that hate and disappointment and, you know, what have you, bad marriages and what have you. So this is good that guys get to hear some type of celebration for the little boy who never got celebrated at all. My last point is that sometimes I wish our ladies knew what servitude for men felt like. Sometimes some of our women, unlike you ladies, will come across as the man should do this and the man should do that. That may be true, but where's that nurturing side that she should naturally have? Where's that fertilizer? Is he coming home to fertilize, or is he coming home to concrete that just demands of him? So this, again, is a good thing you guys have done. I bow out. I thank you very much for just bringing this grace, and I hope that a lot of ladies look at their sons now that you guys have done this show and start thinking, well, do I say nurturing words? Am I fertilizing this boy, even though he may be a grown man? Am I fertilizing this husband, even though I think he should already know? Am I doing my part as a nurturer? So thank you very much for what you're doing.
Before you go, tell us your name, because I have a question for you.
My name is Q, and what is your question?
Q, okay. Q, I'm going to celebrate you in doing the work with the men. Like I started the show off, I have a
passion for the men, I don't think they get nurtured enough. I don't think we allow them to express emotion and thought, and, you know, which is something I really worked hard to make sure that I am planting as seeds into my young boys to be men. So I 100% applaud you in that idea. And one thing you said I really want to comment on is that a lot of times women don't know. They don't know. They are mimicking something that they've seen without fully comprehending the full weight of what they're doing and what they're saying. And so it's really ignorance on both parts. And that's why this show had to be done in part. Because men have a different journey than the women. And so a lot of times us women don't know your journey. And if you don't share, then it's hard for us to communicate, you know. If you could, and you said a lot of things I thought were very positive and timely, because this is what we're doing, what is that benchmark for men to let them know, hey, let me stop where I am for a second and celebrate this. I got somewhere. What would you say a good benchmark for that is?
Non-smiling men. Non-smiling men don't remember how to be goofy. They don't remember how to chuckle. Everything is the got to get something done. And the got to get something done theory is a protective thing for guys, because they don't want to get yelled at, or they don't want to have this extra conversation. Let me share this one other thing with you, just because you asked. When you look at, and this is something I explain to my clients, when you look at human resource, if the white woman is helping this brother more than the sister, if the white man is helping this brother more than the sister, I'm talking about getting in a company, and if this guy runs into so much disparaging things from the sisters at the company, he takes that home. Now, it may not be in his immediate circle, but this is something he takes home. Then he's told, hey, you have to protect these women irregardless because they're sisters. But okay, who's protecting me? Now his anger starts to brew. Now he's a little confused. It normally happens to guys who are outside of spirituality, as you guys are talking today, because he doesn't have the spirituality to trampoline on.
Mm-hmm.
But it starts to go against, like, hold on, I was taught as long as I'm noble and do like this to a woman, I'll get respected back. But in my walk, in my life's walk, these other people are helping me more. Let me give you one other example, and I'll be quiet. Even when you're dealing in relationships, like I like very dark-skinned women. I'm a dark-skinned man. When I say that, it's the women who yell at me and say, no, you don't. What are you going through where you feel the need to confront and combat me for what I like? Because whatever you saw on TV or what have you. So it causes some of these dudes to get mystified by non-black women who pretend to be feminine and pretend to be more family-like. And my friend said, he said, and this goes to that point, why is the gentrification thing happening? I said, because nobody invested in these boys. These boys don't know what it's like to go out and buy a piece of land necessarily. While these other cultures, they don't even leave their house till they're 28, 30 years old with a down payment on land. They have no idea.
That's right.
So we don't really invest in these boys. And then when we date them and what have you, we think because of their age, they got it figured out. No, they need fertilizer. And the fertilizer can only come from the nurturing mouth of the ladies who look like us.
Fertilizer. Twice. Okay, remember that, sisters. Get your fertilizer together. Because that's what the brothers need, and I agree 100%. Now, I'd like to share an experience that I had with a brother and the people in my ministry have had with my godfather, who is now about 89 years old, but he was a very important part in a women's healing program, because he was the fertilizer for those women. He helped to validate their woes and their violations. He helped to validate who they were. And at first I had certain feelings about, should we have a brother as a part of this pretty much all women's program? But none of the women minded initially, and afterwards everyone sang his praises because he was their fertilizer. And so, Stephen, I know you have have had for years a desire to work with these brothers and be the fertilizer in their lives, in whatever program and retreat that you offer to, you know, your godchildren and to, you know, other people that want to be a part of the program. So that's very important. I like that word fertilizer, because that's exactly what we have.
Can I just mention
each other
before I hang up? See, here's something I hope you guys do a show about one day. Because just in that temporary feeling that you had about him being a man, sometimes what we guys run into some of our black ladies who are more about their sisterhood than they are about the blackhood. We run into some of our ladies who are afraid to confront the mayonnaise woman about what she does wrong, but quick to criticize some brother who looks like her. And so we just hope sometime that the sisterhood is not a big of a draw for some of our ladies than the brotherhood. So I just want to mention that slightly. I've taken up too much time. You guys got other stuff to do. I love y'all.
No.
Love what y'all doing. And please hear my words and hopefully somebody apply it.
All right.
Hey, welcome,
thank you for
first
calling
time caller. Yes, we are here every Wednesday. I think Mama Keith got 3 in one night. But awesome insights. Awesome. He must be related to Ibrahim in some way. Talking about the brotherhood and the need for women to be empathetic towards it, you know. And so it is a very real need, desire, pull. And I think someone can hear you, you know, Brother Q, I believe. I'm sure someone can hear you.
Yeah.
I'm sure that,
yeah.
you know, because the phone lines are chock full of men and women. Because women, actually, we care about your perspective. We care about what you think and how you're feeling and everything like that. That's important to us. Sometimes women don't quite know how to communicate. So these are great pointers, and I love – we have had a variety of brothers call in and share, and it's been absolutely wonderful, but we cannot get off this phone line. Mama Khadija, I got one more that I really want to get in, and before we do our closing statements and everything, so hold on for just a second. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
We have a bad connection.
What?
Maybe they're on mute.
What number, phone number is it?
0669, you.
Yeah, that's Brother Kerhat.
All right.
Greetings, brother.
Greetings. I had been maneuvered into the position of having to speak up because Khadija has threatened all the brothers.
Okay.
I figured if I'm going to have a peaceful life, I better come out of the shower. Greetings to you, sister. And I hope the family here is well. Seven, I would like to give you my congratulations on all the work you do on the show and on that wonderful young man, Solomon.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. And Khadija, who's been a constant companion of mine for, I guess, well over 30 years, we've talked back and forth and have been very close to each other and helping each other out. So I am pleased to be on this show tonight, and the brothers have had some very powerful things to say.
I am, as I say, pleased to be on here. I would like to share my spiritual journey, and it starts off when I was about 11 years old. That was when John F. Kennedy got assassinated. I remember being on my way to the playground with a basketball in my hand, and as I was walking up the steps, not knowing what had taken place that day, somebody rolled by in a car and hollered out, "The president was assassinated." And I remember standing on the steps there and starting to cry because I thought that that was the salvation of our people, and that was very important to me at that time. So without belaboring on any particular point, the next point in my spiritual growth came when Martin Luther King was assassinated. I was 16 at that time, was 11 when John F. Kennedy got assassinated. When Martin Luther King got assassinated, we as a people proceeded to burn down the entire country. And I remember being out in the midst of all that, grabbing whatever I could grab and taking it to the house and things like that. So that was another advent on my journey to spirituality. I would say at this point, having gone through that, my mind was focused on, because at about 11 years old, I remember hearing that we were a cursed people. And I was trying to reference in my mind and thinking about, at that time, Jim Brown, the football player, Smokey Robinson, the singer. And in my young mind, I said, wow, this just doesn't make sense. I said, cursed people don't have this kind of power and this kind of grace. I remember thinking that at 11 years old. So eventually I became what I would share with the family here as a master student of a master teacher. And I committed myself to trying to awaken my people. And so in doing that, I became a Muslim, and I started living in what would be considered to be a monastery for about 20 years, where I gave up everything in the world, and I tried to teach our people and the world some of the realities and some of the facts that have been hidden from us. So in that regard, I walked the streets of New York, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., Miami, Florida, just teaching and trying to enlighten people so that we could see some of the things that had been done to the world, not just to us, because there are some African proverbs that basically indicate that when we are down, everything is down, and when we are up, everything is up. So, you know, in starting to teach like that and understanding, you know, what we go through and what, you know, I was going through to be a teacher in that regard, I committed myself to being shot at, spat upon, cursed out, and all of these things to be of some service to my people and to the world, knowing that if I could be a part of waking up these people, I would be a part of correcting the issues in the world. So, you know, I then was given the responsibilities of establishing at first I was responsible for a community in Washington, D.C., where I had responsible for people and their lives and how they lived and, you know, all of those things. Then I was sent out to, or I went out to Miami. I would think that Khadija would remember this, because my going out to Miami was a thing about love, which a great portion of that still exists today, because there was a young lady who I was in love with, whose name was also Khadija, that I helped pack the truck up and helped move to Miami at that time. Having been in Miami, I eventually had the responsibility of establishing a spiritual community, again, for the purpose of teaching people and enlightening and helping the world to come to a better place than the assassination of John F. Kennedy or Martin Luther King. That same path then took me to Jacksonville, Florida, where I did some of the same work of teaching. And I still, at this point, in acknowledging everything that's been said here tonight about women and men and their journeys and some of the discombobulation that has happened to us in this sojourn or this journey here in America, am still living that spiritual reality, having at times lost, suffered pain, degradation, blame, but even today, I accept all of that. There's not a thing that I would change. I've lived, I've loved, and I've lost. but I haven't lost anything that didn't create a gain for me, because every experience has made me what I am today. And as in talking to Sister Khadija the other day, she said something to me that many are saying, that I should celebrate my journey, that I should speak on the things that I've experienced, because people need to know that people may grow from something that I have to say. So in that, I was have been hearing this from quite a few circles, and Khadija's word has always meant something to me. I am taking this time to try to state that journey and that life to all in earshot, because even right now, my daily life is still committed to that journey. Every day I go out to make a dollar, the dollar that I make is not overshadowed by the teaching that I do, because I do Lyft and Uber. And every day in that car, I consider that car a ministry. And I both help many souls on a daily basis, and I have many souls to help me. When I go out, I know it's not me, so that I know that I'm receiving as I give, and I'm giving as I receive. So that is truly my spiritual journey. And I know that all of this is coming together so beautifully, because that is why we're here now, and that's why Seven and Khadija has put this program together, because we're all waking up. Now, I'll say this, I may go a bit off from what the normal state of mind might be. I would share with you all that is here now that we, Nubian people, black people, Moors, Muslims, do not mean to make a distinction, but we exert such a power on the world, such an energy. We don't necessarily know that we are the ones that are changing the world, because we don't know what the world is, but we know it doesn't work for us the way we need it to. So as we awaken and we are thinking, we are creating ripples of energy that is forcing a disconnection of the world that was, and recreating the world that is coming. That's in the book of Revelations, chapter 21, when it talks about a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth has passed away. So if I am not saying anything that's out of sync with what has been said tonight, that is my spiritual journey. And I love every second of it. I have grown from so much pain, and I have learned to love. In that journey, I would like to be nothing but the essence of love. And I know that what I experienced, all the pain and all the joy, has brought me to that reality of love being the essence of everything. So that's what I would say, not meaning to take up too much of your time, as the brother said before, and I did like what him and a couple of other people had to say tonight. Well, pretty much everybody, and I do think the brothers are winning, by the way.
Before you go with your extra commentary and all the men trying to keep score here, but before you go, I want, because you have held a couple of different roles. You've been a spiritual leader, you've been an activist, you have led communities and everything else like that. If you had to say something to the young men that are coming up, from your years of experience, what words of advice would you give to them?
I tell them all the time, I have quite a few conversations, you are exactly where you're supposed to be, and you're doing exactly what the universe has planned for you. There are no mistakes in the universe. I know we call it God, but the universe has created and organized itself for everything to work in perfect harmony. It's called divine love, or divine order.
Divine order.
So I tell the young folks that when they come to me, although they hear that you're not right, you're not doing this, you don't know, you don't understand, know that you have, there's a word that I share with them, it's called zeitgeist. And zeitgeist means the spiritual energy of the time. So everything is in tune with that time. And these young people, though they seem to be out of link with the world that we came from, they're very much prepared for the world they're in. And that's what I'm trying to show them, so that they can have the confidence to go forward knowing that they are prepared for this as opposed to having to think about what any of us think about them not being equipped or not being ready. They are the warriors for the present day.
Mm. Wow. Absolutely. I thank you so much for that insight, brother. And I remember during one of our conversations several probably weeks ago, you were saying that there are no mistakes, and I acknowledge that. You said it's either a lesson or a blessing.
Right.
And I encourage people when they're making their prayers to be thankful for the blessings and also for the challenges, you know, because we grow from those challenges. We grow from those blessings. So, no, there are no mistakes in the universe. It's either a lesson or a blessing, and sometimes it's both. I thank you so much for your insight and your journey.
Absolutely. You're more than welcome. There's been a statement I may have shared this with you, on Khadija, at different times. There's a statement I love on share on Facebook, which I share on a regular basis. It says that I never lose. I either win or I learn.
That's right.
And I think that's, I think that's a beautiful thing to be able to remember. Because as has been said on this show, I've listened, Khadija, I've come on and I have spoken in the past, and I expect if I'm allowed to speak in the, you know, in the future. And sometimes I just come on and I just, you know, lay back. But I've already said this night was such a threat that I felt like if I didn't speak up, I would disappear. So, you know, we are exactly where we are supposed to be, and the world is changing in tune to this program tonight because the fact that the energy is going out like that, it's reverberating into the universe, and the universe is sending that same energy back because it's the energy for the time now that we're in. There's no time like other than now. So we're good. I appreciate your appreciation, and I appreciate what y'all are doing, and I appreciate having the opportunity to come on and share. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Yes. Okay. All right. All right. Men, folks, y'all did your thing. You did your thing. I had to get some additional information from the elder, though. How about that? You are where you are supposed to be. You know, one thing I heard, and Mama Khadija, you can tell me what you heard from the men. I heard a lot of the word that they don't like to use. I heard a lot of forgiveness. I heard the need for a lot of forgiveness, forgiveness of self, of situations, and how that forgiveness helped them in their journey. And so, you know, there were, how to not beat yourself up, forgive yourself for your own mistakes. Don't look at it as a mistake. Look at it as a lesson or a blessing is one or the other. And so there was so much acceptance there, the need for more acceptance. You know, I want to shout out, you know, Sister Doma with her shout out to the men. She had to let everybody know, look.
That was awesome.
Look,
that
here.
Was awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We are here. We're supporting you. We feel you. We want you to feel us. How about? So, yeah, men, folks, I want to thank you. I want to applaud you, you know, in this celebration, because this is a celebration. You know, I want to applaud you for taking the steps, because it does get heavy. And it does get tiresome, and it becomes a bit much. And so, you know, that's what this whole celebration was about. For just a moment, you know, allowing yourself to enjoy where you are, how you feel, and everything else like that. Enjoy the celebration of yourself and understand it's necessary.
And don't wait too long to do it.
What you hear? Here, Mama Khadija.
All of the above, all of the above, but a lot of love, a lot of love, you know.
Yes.
When you have brothers talking about celebrating on his spiritual journey, his wife and his family, you know.
Yeah.
Everything has been phenomenal. The men have definitely shown up tonight and showed out. Because this was just, you know, more than I ever imagined.
For me,
we had three new callers. Yes. And the sister that did the poem about the brothers,
yes.
That was so on point and on time. It
yes.
has just been a phenomenal celebration. And we have
mm-hmm.
to just, we don't have to wait for a specific time to celebrate.
That's right.
We can celebrate
right.
when we get up. We can celebrate. In fact, I think when I make my morning prayers, that is in essence a celebration. You know,
yes, it is.
Celebrating that relationship with the Most High, you know. And I can celebrate with my children or grandchildren, or I can choose to celebrate by myself. I
mm-hmm.
celebrate with my ancestors, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we have to constantly celebrate that
mm-hmm.
vibration high, because when we keep our vibration high, then we can get connected.
Mm-hmm.
When that vibration is low, then we're connecting with some low energy. We need to keep
That's
that fine. Vibration in a celebratory mode and just keep it moving, keep it moving, keep celebrating, keep acknowledging
uh-huh.
those accomplishments, you know, all of the above, all of the above. I thought
mm-hmm.
it was lovely. There was a lot of love and some vulnerability, which a lot of times we don't
yes.
experience with our
yes.
men.
Yes.
And,
yes.
you know, a lot of people, men and women, feel that it's a sign of weakness. It's not.
Yeah.
It's
or
not.
That it's a feminine trait. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. I got one last call, Mama T, I'm going to answer before we get to the prayer, because I always do this right here.
Okay.
Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings, family. How are we doing this evening?
Greetings.
Oh,
we are
well.
Greetings. Wow.
mm-hmm. Yes. yes. That's a
holy moly.
yes.
Our
yes.
men were fabulous. Absolutely
yes.
amazing. Oh, my
yes.
goodness. Yes, they
yes.
were some powerful men from the youngest to the oldest. I
yes.
enjoyed it. I am so proud of our brothers standing,
yes.
coming out, speaking, you know, sharing their feelings. And, you know, I want them to know that we're out there. You know, there's women out there that listens, that understands, and, you know, sympathize with them, back them up, you know, give them whatever support they want. And I just
That's
pray
right.
that the men out there find these women who
That's
are
right.
supportive of them and that love them, you know, unconditionally. You
mm-hmm.
know, it was such a blessing to hear our men and young men, men and young men,
mm-hmm.
speak up. And I just want to say, bless you, brothers. Keep doing what you're doing because it's wonderful, and I hope you all have find your support group or in talking to other people, men and women, to help you through your journey. I share.
Yes.
I Amen. Share.
Yeah, mm. I felt mm. that wow too. Okay. I felt that. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean. I'm telling you, Mama P, they're going to keep moving us to 2 hours because I'm like, I'm not ready to go. I want to hear some more. I want to keep the vibe going. You know, this is one of those shows I am just not ready for it to end. But, you know,
yeah.
time limitations, we have to go back and support the families and everything else like that. So, but this has been a wonderful treat. We're going to wrap up and get into our prayer. I want to do the closing prayer because this prayer is important. You know, we're talking about this spiritual journey, and our first caller started off with, I made prayer. You know, we started this conversation talking about how prayer impacts this journey and having this sweetness for the prayer, learning different types of prayers. So, you know, the men, they gave us so much information that I hope everybody can kind of take that back in their personal lives and apply it. You know, let's find some more ways to reach out to them, better ways to reach out to them, and, you know, let's just keep this mode of conversation open. Love it. So, okay, mm-hmm. getting into this prayer, everyone knows, and if you didn't, I'm telling you, that God has put onto my heart for this year to really learn prayer, to study prayer, to understand the formula of it. And so that's what I've been doing, and it has been a wonderful journey that adds to the body of knowledge that I have, that I share, that I live by. And so I just want to thank everybody's patience with me in this because it's such a big part. So this is a thank you prayer by Mahoney. Dear Heavenly Father and Divine Mothers, thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed in my life. You have provided me with more than I could have ever imagined. You have surrounded me with people who always look out for me. You have given me family and friends who bless me every day with kind words and actions. They lift me up in ways that keep my eyes focused on you and make my spirit soar. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me safe. You protect me from those things that seem to haunt others. You help me believe, you help me make better choices, and you have provided me with advisors, strong counsel that will help me with difficult decisions. You speak to me in so many ways that I always know you're here. Lord, I am so grateful for keeping those around me safe and loved. I hope that you provide me with the ability to sense, to show them every day how much they matter. I hope that you give me the ability to give them the same kindness they have provided to me. I am so grateful for all of the blessings in my life, Lord. I pray that you remind me of just how blessed I am and that you never allow me to forget my gratitude and my prayers in returned kind acts. Amen.
Amen.